All right, let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 2 this evening. Don't forget now that if you happen to miss a service, or you know someone who is a shut-in or whatever, our sermons are all on sermon audio, and it's fairly simple. You just go to sermonaudio.com and you can look up either Emmanuel Baptist Church of Sagersville or Mark Campbell, and you'll be able to find our church, and you'll be able to find our messages there. And we're averaging, you know, several different countries and several different states a month that we are reaching out to. And then also, if you want some things to listen to, you got time and you're clicking around on the internet, go to Five Guys in the Bible and listen to some of our things that we talked about this week. The two subjects that we discussed was infant babies and death, or those who are mentally challenged and death, and do they go to heaven? And then also the scripture as the only thing necessary for what we believe. So those are two things that you might find interesting. And again, it's myself and four other pastors as we just discuss these things and talk about what the Bible says. So lots of different topics on there and many more to come. So if you're interested and that's something on there that if you can utilize the internet, that's something that you can do, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. And last week we looked at the first 11 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. And we want to remember, as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, we want to remember the main thought is that Solomon said, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." And so Solomon, as he reviewed his life, he recognized that all that is in this world is empty. There's no profit to anything under the sun. And as we look at Solomon's understanding of the world and how he saw the emptiness in all of it, what we need to do is we need to be encouraged to seek those things which are above. Because it's going to be very evident even to us tonight that there may be emptiness in things in this world. But if you are doing the things of this world for God's honor and for God's glory, it's not empty. We talked about it this morning. We will be rewarded for what we do for the Lord. And so it's very easy for you to look at your life. And if you look at your life and you're looking at it from the perspective of this life, it's very easy for you to look at life and say, "Oh, what's the purpose? What's the use? Why do I continue to do these things?" But if you keep the perspective, a heavenly perspective, you'll understand there's great value in the things that you do. And if you do them for God's honor and for God's glory, you will find there's great value in that. So perspective is very important. And the reason that Solomon had such a negative perspective is because he was looking at these things from the world's point of view. He was looking at them solely for the impact that they had today, and not the eternal impact that they might have. And so perspective is always important. So let's read verses 12 through 26, and we'll try to get through this second chapter today. One other thing that we want to keep in mind in this section of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's going to talk about wisdom. And he's going to talk about the value of wisdom and what value is there in wisdom. And we want to remember also, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Okay? He was wiser than anyone before him, and he is wiser than anyone that has lived since. So we're talking about someone who had wisdom, and then he's questioning what's the value in it. So Ecclesiastes 2, verses 12 through 26. "And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath already been done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is and the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall I have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not learned, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For all his days are sorrows, and all his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul with joy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, we know that the Bible teaches us that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. But we know tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that the spiritual man is able to receive your word. But we know that it requires the Holy Spirit of God to open our hearts, to enable us to receive this word. So tonight, dear Heavenly Father, as I share those things that you have placed upon my heart and the way that you have opened these scriptures to my mind, I pray also, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll open up the hearts and the minds of the hearers tonight, and that, Lord, as they listen to your word, that it will not return unto you void, but, Lord, that it will accomplish in their lives what you desire for it to accomplish. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit who does give us wisdom and leads us in the ways of righteousness and truth. Again, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. So again, we're looking at the words of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And as we begin looking at verse number 12, he says, I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath already been done already? So Solomon gave himself to understand wisdom. He wanted to know, okay, I have this wisdom. I've been granted all of this wisdom. What is the value in this wisdom in comparison to that person who doesn't have wisdom? The person that doesn't have understanding. What's the value in being the wisest man who has ever lived versus someone who basically is just silly? What's the value there? And so he gave his heart to determine those things. And so he investigated those things. And as he looked at that, he said, as I look at all that I've done as a king, and I look at all the decisions I've made, and I look at all of the work that I've accomplished, and all of the possessions that I have acquired, and all of the battles that have been won, and all of those things, and I've utilized my wisdom in the best way I know how, what's going to happen after that? There's going to be someone that comes after me. And what's he going to do? He's going to do that which has already been done. Then I'm going to leave it to him. And what good will it be? Then he goes on to say, verse number 14, that I understand that one event happens to them all. And here's what he says. I'm the wisest man that ever lived, and I am but flesh, and one day I'm going to die. And over here is another man who is not very wise. He basically is, that word means silly. Folly in this means silly. He basically has no wisdom. And what's going to happen to him at the end of his life? He's going to die. I've utilized the wisdom that God has given me in the best way I know how. And I'm going to die. And this man has been foolish. He's been wasteful. He's not been wise in everything that he has done. What's he going to do? He's going to die. So as Solomon looks at this, he understands that in the end, we're all going to go out the same way. One event is going to happen to us all. But he also understands that there is value in wisdom because he says in verse number 13, "Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness." Now, how valuable is wisdom? Well, the analogy that he uses here is the same analogy. Let's take for example. The one who is basically silly, who uses no wisdom at all, he would be like one trying to walk through a cave with no light. We've all been in those caves where, you know, you get inside of that cave and they turn the lights off and you're in total darkness. And how easily could they move through the cavern? We know that they would stumble. We know that they would fall. We know that, hey, they may even fall into a great pit because they would have no way of knowing what lay in front of them. And someone who does not utilize wisdom is the same way. When they don't use wisdom and they walk through life, it is like someone trying to traverse a path in a cave with no light at all. Whereas a man that has wisdom, his eyes are enlightened and he understands and he has perfect understanding of his way and he's able to see what's in front of him and he's not taken by the pitfalls. He wouldn't be taken by an unseen ditch or an unseen crevice or a waterfall or whatever. He would run into a stalactite or a stalagmite because he would be able to see. And so as he went through life, his wisdom enabled him to go through life easier. So even though in the end we all die, there still is an advantage to having wisdom because it enables you to walk through life easier. So Solomon, even though he said all is vanity, he still understood the value of wisdom and doing things the right way. Now that's very important for us. Because sometimes we get in this place, what's the difference between me and the lost guy? Because the lost guy, he gets through life and he seems to be going through life okay. Well, you don't really know what's going on in his heart and you don't really know the suffering and the heartache and the travail that he's having. And as you're walking in the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passes all understanding, in the midst of those trials, the peace of God comes in and lifts you up and comforts you and gives you strength. There is value in walking with the Lord. It may not be readily seen, but there is great value in being a child of God and walking with Him. And so Solomon was able to see that there was value in walking in wisdom, and the value was the same as light over darkness. Again, there is value in making wise decisions versus just kind of floating through life without any utilizing any wisdom or without any rhyme or reasoning or there's value in walking with principles versus not walking in principles. There's value in walking in integrity versus one who will not walk in integrity. There's value in walking with morals versus one who will not walk with morals. There is value in walking with the Lord. And Solomon displays that and shares that with us here. Even though in the end it's all the same, we all die, our walk is going to be better by walking in wisdom. So Solomon then said in verse number 15, Then said I in my heart. I want you to think about that. Then said I in my heart. An old friend of mine said, he always used to say this, I said to myself, self, what'd you do that for? Or I said to myself, self, you need to go do this. No, pondering in your heart. You know, it's good to ponder things in your heart. It's good to think and be inquisitive and to maybe even think about the goodness of God. I mentioned this a little bit in the men's prayer room, but before I came, I was putting my clothes, getting ready to come to church, and I thought, I'm going to go to church and we're going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to share the Bible with them. As I pondered that in my heart, I was like, man, who am I that I'm leading the worship of the one true King? Man, God has allowed me to share the Word of God with you. Folks, that's a scary thought to me. As I ponder the place that God has given me in life. You see, Solomon pondered the things of God, and he thought about things, and he thought about life, and he thought about his position in life, and what he was doing with his life, and where it was going in life, and all of those things. He didn't just kind of cruise through life, but he thought about life. It would be good for you to take time to ponder life. Here's what he said, verse 15 again. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? He's asking himself this. If me and the next guy are going to end up the same, if we're both going to live our lives and then there's going to come a time that we're going to take our last breath, and then there's going to be the funeral procession, and they're going to take us and they're going to bury us in the hole. And as we've said so many times, I'm going to be forgotten. Why do I have this wisdom? Why was I given the wisdom that I have been given? And the pondering for all of us is this. Why did God make you like He did? Why did God put you in the place that He put you? Why did He give you the talent that He gave you? Why did He put you in your place of employment? Why did He make you intelligent? Why did He make you this person's friend? Why are you where you're at in your life? Remember this. You are exactly where you are in life because that is exactly where God wanted you to be. And you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. So ponder that for a while. You're not here by mistake. You're not where you're at by accident. You don't have what you have, both physically, materially, socially, all of those things. It's not an accident that you're who you are. So Solomon's saying, why did God give me this wisdom? Why did God give me the understanding that I have of the Scripture? Why did God place me in Emmanuel Baptist Church? Why did God put me where He put me? Folks, that's something to ponder. And when you think about it, that you're where you at because God says that's exactly where I want you to be. All of a sudden you begin to say, instead of life being full of vanity, you understand there's a purpose that God has in everything that He does, in every place that you're at in your life. God has you there for a reason. And all of a sudden, life has great value because you understand it's bigger than just what's happening to me today. It all fits into the plan and the purposes of God. So Solomon began to ask that question. So you can ask yourself this question. Why has God made you as He has? Why has God given you what He has given you? Why has God placed you where you are? Remember this. Mordecai told Esther, perhaps you were prepared for such a time as this. And I want you to understand that that's exactly true for you. You have been prepared for such a time as this. You're exactly where God wants you to be, and you can do exactly whatever it is that God has called you to do, and you can be the influence that God desires for you to be because God has chosen for you to be where you are. You see, what Solomon, I don't think at this point in his life, understood is that life is bigger than just the end. There's more to life than just, oh yeah, we're going to die. Really, death is just the beginning, right? Death is just the beginning. Death is just the doorway into eternity. And so life is more than just man lives and then he dies. Life is more than that. And we all need to see that. It's more than just the physical life. It's what you do with what God has given you that is so important. So when you begin to ponder where you're at in life and the things that you have or the things that you don't have and why God placed you where you are, as you begin to ponder those things and you begin to understand that I'm exactly... Listen, this has been a revelation for me. Oh, it's probably been about a little over a year ago now. But God knew exactly who I was when He called me to the ministry. God knew my likes. God knew my dislikes. He knew my personality. He knew everything about me. He even knew that I liked football. And He called me into the ministry anyway. You know, I tried to live my life for a long period of time being what I thought everybody else wanted me to be instead of just being what God made me to be. And when I was trying to live my life as I thought everyone else wanted me to live and be what everyone else wanted me to be, it caused me a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. But when I lived my life understanding that God knew me and He knew what I was and still yet He called me, that man, that gave me such freedom and so much liberty. And basically, it's okay that I like sports. And it's okay if you like to hunt. And it's okay if you like to deal with cattle or whatever, you know, or fish or whatever it is that we like to do. And we got, I forget what they called Charles, that name they called it. I'd like to build a porch on the end of my house. It's okay if you like to do that. Or maybe you don't like to do it. You just knew you wanted to do it. Whatever. You know, God knows who we are. Just enjoy the journey of who God made you to be. Now, there may be some things about us that we need to change. There may be some sinful characteristics that we have in our lives. And I'm not saying that it's okay to go ahead and live in those sinful characteristics. But your who God made you to be, it's okay to be that. Enjoy the journey that God has placed you on and utilize that journey to give God glory. You see, that's what Solomon couldn't see. Solomon couldn't view things beyond their physical impact. Solomon couldn't see the eternal value in everything that God had given him and in the place that God had put him. He couldn't see the eternal value in that. And so since he only looked with the physical eyes, he saw vanity of vanity is all, it's all vanity. But when we look at things with the spiritual eyes, when we look at them in the value they have for God and for His kingdom, when we look at them through spiritual eyes, we see life is not all vanity. Life is good. Life is led by the Lord. And we're going to use our lives to bring honor and glory to Him. And so it's not all vanity. We need to truly understand that God made us a coal truck driver, not coal truck driver, a rock truck driver, because that's where He wanted us to be. And a UPS truck driver and a bookkeeper for, they're all retired now, so I can't really say that anymore. A bookkeeper for the Head Start and teachers and all of those things, working at Continental and pipe fitters and electricians and civil engineers and pharmacists and nurses and all of those things that we are. You're exactly all of those things because that's exactly what God wanted you to do. And He gifted you with those talents for you to utilize them. And He placed you where you are so that you can bring glory to Him. And when you are taking the career that God has given you and you're using that for His honor and His glory, and you're being the best person that you can be for Him, and you're utilizing the gift that He's given you, then you're bringing glory to Him. And it's blessed of God. And it's not vain, because whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all for the glory of God. And so it's not vain. It's not useless. It is something that God placed, that God has placed you so that you can serve Him and so that you can glorify Him and so that you can influence other people. And you're going to be the best servant you can be, exactly where God wants you to be. Listen, God does not call every person into the full-time ministry. What would happen to a church if God says, okay, all of you quit your jobs and all of you go into full-time Christian service? What would happen? The church would dissolve, wouldn't it? Listen, not everyone can be a general. You got to have some privates, don't you, in the military? You got to have people out there just working for the Lord in their normal everyday life. And the point of what I'm trying to get you to see is what Solomon could not see. Solomon could not see the spiritual value in being who he was for God. He couldn't see that. He couldn't see the importance. And listen, I think that's one thing that's missing in our Christian world today. So many people say you got to surrender your whole life to the Lord, and that means you got to give it all up. No, it don't. Surrendering your life to the Lord means that you're willing to do whatever God wants you to do, and wherever God places me in life, I'm just going to be the best that I can be while I'm there. Solomon couldn't see the spiritual value in a place that God had put him. And so as he looked at it, he developed this negative attitude or this negative view of life. And vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Folks, we want to guard against that, because what happens if you're always grouchy, if you're always grumpy, if you're always got this negative view, if you always see things from a negative point of view, what happens to you? The next thing you know, you turn into Eeyore, right? And everything's negative and you can't see the good in anything. And the next thing you know, you throw off this negative vibe, and then people don't want to be around you. I can remember at the Brickyard, there was one guy in particular. I mean, you talk about negative Nancy. He was. It didn't matter what you did for that guy. He saw the worst and he spoke the worst. It was all horrible. You think people wanted to be around him? He was one of those guys that they were sitting in the break room, and he started coming. They'd say, oh, here he comes. Let's get out of here before he gets in here. They didn't want to be around him. So let's understand. Don't be negative. Don't have a negative point of view. Understand that God wants you exactly where you are to do His will, and look at your life with eternity in view. Verse 15 again, then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. You see the negative view that Solomon had. He's saying, there is no value in me being wise, because I'm going to die and the fool is going to die, and we're all going to end up the same. There is no value. But folks, there is tremendous value. So the thing to keep in mind is, what is your focal point? The focal point for Solomon was this world and this world alone. And yes, in this world, there is no remembrance of the wise man versus the fool. At Siloam, or not Siloam, but at Mount Zion, where my father's buried, and where many of my mom's family are buried, You go to that and there's graves from the 1850s. When we were there over Memorial Day, there was someone up in the front of that and they were trying to clean off one of those old tombstones. They were there looking for some of their ancestors. And you go to that gravestone and some of them you can't even hardly read the writing on them, but when you go and you look and you'll say, okay, we'll just say John Doe there. Was John Doe a wise man or a fool? I have no idea. No one remembers him. He's been dead for so long. No one remembers John Doe. Was he a wise man or was he a fool? You have no idea. So if you're looking at it from a worldly perspective, and are you wise or are you a fool, there is no remembrance. But in heaven, John Doe, God says, I gave him a talent, and he brought forth 10 talents. In heaven, it's recorded that John Doe was a very wise man. And he's going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many. You see, in the world's point of view, if you're just looking at things from an earthly point of view, there is no remembrance. But if you keep an eternal point of view, if you keep a heavenly point of view, there is remembrance in heaven how you have utilized what God has given you. So there is great value in utilizing what God has given you. Perspective is so important. Solomon said, listen to verse 17. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. How can that be true? How can the wisest man who ever lived upon the face of the earth, the richest man who lived upon the face of the earth, the man who had everything that this world could offer, how could he come to the end of his life and say, I hate it? How could he do that? I mean, I guarantee you, if he was alive now, he'd be saying, my Maserati does 185. Okay? He'd had a Maserati and a Bentley and whatever else to go along with it. He had it all. And he said, I hated life. How could he say that? Because he was looking at life with an earthly perspective. Paul says, I count it all done that I may win Christ. Well, the only thing that was important, Paul was serving the Lord in the place that he was. But none of us who are Christians should say, I hate life. When we're looking at things with an eternal point of view and with an eternal perspective and realizing I'm walking with God and I'm doing whatever it is that He's asked me to do and I'm following after Him and I'm just going to be faithful in the place that He has put me. I'm willing to do, Lord, here, take my life, utilize it. We won't hate life because we're not going to look at life based upon how the world views life. We're going to look at it with a heavenly perspective and how God views our lives. And we're going to realize that how God views our life is different than the way the world views our life. And we're going to say, I am thankful that I was able to walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I felt His presence in my life and I enjoyed the blessings that He gave me every day. And I love life because it's here that I feel the presence of God. It all has to do with our perspective. Solomon had the wrong perspective. Let's keep the right perspective. Work only done. You see, notice what he says. Therefore I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. See, understand this. Work, which is only done for reasons under the sun, is vain. It is perplexing. If the only thing you're doing is working for a paycheck, then it is going to be vain. Then you are going to hate your job. Then you are going to say, well, I got to go to work every day for it. I hate this job. I hate it. You know. But if you're doing your job as the servant of God, and you're going to be what God has called you to be, and you're going to use the gifts that God has given you, and you're going to honor Him with everything that you've got, you're going to understand that your reward is far greater than a paycheck. The paycheck is just a benefit. The paycheck is just icing on the cake. Now, none of us want to work without a paycheck, right? But if you're only working for a paycheck, listen, next week it's going to be gone. Or maybe before you get your paycheck, it may be gone. So the first thing, oh, I just got paid today and I don't have no money the rest of the week. I hate this job. It's not the job's fault, by the way. You agreed to work for a certain amount of money. It's not the job's fault that you choose to spend more than what you're making. And it's not God's fault either. Okay? If you're only working for that reason, that money's going to be gone quickly. But if you understand, I'm God's person in God's place doing God's will, all of a sudden your perspective changes. And you realize, you know what? There are some people that you are co-workers with every day that you can minister to, that you can be the light of Jesus Christ. And who knows when the Lord might use your presence to open their heart and to see them saved. And listen. Listen, if you had to be a ditch digger and get paid a penny an hour, and that was all that you ever made, but when you get to heaven, someone said, I'm here because of your faithfulness. I saw your faithfulness to the Lord. I saw you pray over your meal. I saw you read your Bible. I saw you be merciful and long-suffering to other people. And I saw the way you interacted with other people. And that caused me to desire the Lord. And I'm here today because I saw your example. And folks, that will be worth it. Well, you won't realize it till you get to heaven. But for someone to say, I'm here because I saw the way that you did your job, and if you look at your job with that perspective, all of a sudden it's not vain anymore. All of a sudden it's not useless. All of a sudden you understand that's my mission field. And it is, by the way. The job that God has given you is your mission field. Your classmates in school are your mission field. The extracurricular activities that you're involved in, they're your mission field. Listen, I really don't believe that God wants us to isolate ourselves from everyone else, because then how are they going to hear the gospel? I really believe that God wants us out there in the world, in being involved. Now, not being involved in sinful things, but being out there in the world and doing extracurricular activities and being involved in clubs. And not nightclubs, but you know, social clubs or whatever. You know, like the Kiwanis or whatever. Or like 4-H or the ball teams or the chess club or the speech club or whatever, or the homemakers and all that stuff. He wants us out there so we can shine the light. So get out there. Let your light so shine. What's it say? Let your light so shine before men. You know what? If the only place I let my light shine is in my home, who's it going to light? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As I was preparing this message, I thought about J.R. down to the cattle sale. And I thought, I wonder what it's like to let your light shine down to the cattle sale. I don't know, you're stomping around in the cow manure and, you know, all that stuff, and there's somebody, you know what? That's what needs to be done, right? It sure does. If you only view your life with a physical perspective and from a worldly point of view, it's going to matter very little. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord and understand things from an eternal point of view, you begin to see that there's great value in whatever it is that you do. Listen, verse number 18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after. This is why many are so disgruntled with their jobs and with their life, is because they just think, I'm just going to live and I'm going to die and somebody else is going to get it, you know. Somebody else is going to be living in my house one of these days. Somebody else is going to be driving my car, whatever. Hey, I'm just going to leave it. And that's the reason so many people are disgruntled, because they don't see things from the eternal point of view. They don't think of the eternal value in the life that God has given them. Who knoweth whether he shall be wise or a fool? Who knows how he will utilize those things? You think about someone, a parent who's, I mean, they've worked hard their whole life and they've got this little nest egg, you know, and maybe they've saved up $30,000 and they got a home and man, they're so proud of their home and they just can't, you know, I'm going to leave this $30,000 maybe, or maybe less even, but $30,000 and my home to my kid. I can't wait. My kids are going to get my house. And they've spent their whole life saving that up, you know, and to give it to their kids. And then they die and the kids come along and they say, you mean $30,000 is all they got? That's all they left me? And look at that house. What did they leave me this old stinking house for? I got to go and clean it up and I got to move this and I got to move that. Isn't that the way it goes sometimes? They don't appreciate what it is their parents, the sacrifices their parents have made for them. And listen, I was the world's worst. You're just going to leave it to somebody else. And if you look at things from that point of view, you're going to be negative, negative, negative. But if you look at it, I'm going to do it for God's honor and God's glory. You're going to see the eternal perspective makes all the difference. Don't be disgruntled. Verse 22, he says, for what hath man of all of his labor and of the vexation of his heart, and wherein he hath labored under the sun? You know, well, what good is it that I got up at 4 o'clock every morning? And I got up before breakfast. I mean, I woke the chickens up, the roosters up, so they could wake everybody else up whenever I went to work. What use was it? If you only look at it from the physical point of view, you're going to say there was no use. But if you look at it from the eternal point of view, verse 23, for all his days are sorrows and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. You know, I spent all of this time, I worked so hard and I had so much sorrow, and I spent this sleepless night because I worked so hard and my back was hurting, my knee was hurting, and my lumbago was hurting, and all of that stuff, you know, I couldn't sleep at night because I worked so hard. What value was it? I worried over this and I worried over that, and I woke up in the middle of the night wondering about work, and I wonder what went on down there today. Did they do this right? Did they do that right? And all of those things. I worry about what value was it? You look at it from the physical point of view, nothing. A waste of time and effort. But if you recognize the value was I was serving the Lord as I was there, and I'm going to be rewarded when I get to heaven for being the best little whatever. I'm going to be rewarded for that, my faithfulness to God and walking with Him in my job. There's great value. So this verse 24 says, there is nothing better for man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Listen, enjoy your labor. Take pride in a job well done, in a task accomplished. And remember that it was from the hand of God. Your job is from the hand of God. Your work, your labor, from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man. See, here's what Solomon was able to figure out. It's all from God. You can't eat apart from God. God gives you the food you eat. You can't have a job. God gives it to you. You can't have wealth. God gives it to you. So understand, everything you are, everything that you have, comes from God. So thank Him for it. Utilize it for His honor and His glory. Keep the eternal perspective and not the worldly perspective, you'll not be like Solomon and towards the end of his life, saying, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. You will say, I have been faithful in all the Lord has given me. I've been the best me for Christ that I know how to be. Realize God's going to bless you for it. And instead of saying, therefore, I hated my life, you're going to say, you know what? From the world's point of view, I might not have been the richest. I might not have been the most handsome. I might not have been the most talented. I might not have been the most charismatic or whatever attribute that you can think about. I might not have been all of those things. But I was the best me that God made me to be. And I was thankful for who God made me to be. You know what, folks? By the way, be thankful for who God made you to be. Because if you say, God, I don't like me. I'm this and I'm that, or I'm not this or I'm not that. You're saying, God, you made a mistake when you made me. He didn't. He made you exactly the way He chose to make you. So just be the best you that you can be. And let your light shine where you're at. And then instead of hating life, being sorrowful and saying, why am I not like this person? Why not? You know, whatever. You're going to say, thank you, Lord, for making me who I am. Enjoy your life. Be thankful for a walk, a job well done. Be thankful for the blessings of God that He's given you. And use what God has given you for His honor, for His glory.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truths we find in Your Word. We thank You for the blessings of life and Your goodness to us. We pray today, dear Heavenly Father, that You'll just bless Your people and encourage them tonight with the word we pray. Help us as we go forward in our lives tomorrow to be the best that we can be. Thank You, Lord, for creating us and for choosing us, for placing us here and working in us both the will and the do of Your good pleasure. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Don't forget, guys, I need to talk to